Let's get into it, man. Get all your yours and stuff out now. Ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, we do not own the copyrights of any of the music that plays on Walker the Walker. However, we're going to give a shout out to Mr. Greg Karukas. Song's called Show Me the Way.
Show Me the Way.
All right. I feel like that's form-fitting for this episode.
Well, yeah. It suits well.
I agree. Let's tap in. Y'all are tapped in. This here is Walker the Walker. Let's jump into it. So happy to be doing this one with you, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Walker the Walker. I'm your man, Lou Walker. To my left is my main man, Mr. OG himself, OG Joe. Let's go ahead and give him a hand.
Right up, thank you, up, thank up, you. Up, you're all right so up. Kind.
Well, I want to say like four seconds before the show started, we said this was going to be the last installment. So before we tap in and all of that, let's go ahead and let's do a wellness check and see how you feeling. How you feeling, boss man?
I'm feeling great today.
Feeling great?
I am feeling great today.
We got a smooth taste of that Florida weather today, didn't we?
Oh, it was something, you know, that liquid sunshine, they call it.
You know, man. Saturday it rained all morning. Get you slumped.
Yeah.
Don't want to do nothing.
Don't want to get up.
Right. And then all of a sudden the sun come out and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those days.
And for me, you know, my thing would have been out of doors today. So everything is all wet up. End of that story.
I mean, yeah, that's the same with me. I haven't really found an indoor gym that I'd feel the need to pay for. Because as far as I'm concerned, as long as there's outdoor gyms or outdoor basketball courts, why would I pay to be inside if all I want to do is play basketball? But the floor is wet, yeah. So that's out of the question.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's me and the babies.
You and the babies.
So let's jump into it, boss man. What are we getting into today?
Well, you know, we always do this to the point issue before we get started on our main topic, you know. This season, this time of the year, voting is a real concern for the citizens. And, you know, we still like to urge all the parents that have voting age children or young adults,
right,
to get them to registered to vote.
Right.
And then one of the questions that came up last week is, why should one vote?
Okay.
You know, so we're gonna say there is power in the numbers. So the more people go out and vote for an issue or a candidate, you know, the numbers increases the chances of that thing becoming a realization.
Right.
You know, or getting your candidate elected.
Right.
So it's vital that everyone that can vote should vote.
I agree.
And one of the benefits of voting, you get greater representation.
Okay. And what do you mean by greater representation?
Well, for your issues, for your candidate.
Okay.
You know, so in other words, if an issue goes in for voting, and if you're just dealing with the politicians, you know, you always got to have a majority to solidify your vote.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
You know, so, and that's through your down ballot as well from, you know, your senators or, excuse me, your city councilmen and so forth, your local officials.
And I really hate the idea that they call that the down ballot. That should be the up ballot.
Well, it you know, in a manner of speaking, it should.
Because, I mean, it's closer to home.
Yeah, yeah. You're moving up from, you know, from your city councilmen, you know, up to your mayors and your governors.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know. That
people that have more say-so on how you live, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's just a matter of perspective.
Gotcha.
Because if you're looking at, you know, your voting or your elections from a local level,
right?
You know, then you're looking upward from the city councilman, you know, the mayor, then the governor, you know, okay. Then your president,
right?
You know, but if you're looking from the general election for a public for the president.
Mm.
You know, everything beneath there is, you know, down.
I got you. You know, down. It's like the upside down and the right side up of the food pyramid.
That part.
Gotcha.
Funding for your community is another reason to vote.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because.
Do they have those? Like, a separate vote? Not more so for a person that's. Issue is this concerning financial state, but do they have like a financial state to vote on? Like, do we grant this $1.8 million bill for the new stadium? Like, would that just be a standalone thing on the ballot, or is that just something that a presidential or whoever?
It seemed like an internal thing between the city councils. Okay.
So it's more so that person that...
You and I don't get to vote on that.
Gotcha.
You know, I think that the city councilman say, hey, look, here's our budget. And incidentally, speaking of budget, where the money is coming from to pay for a stadium.
Right.
You know, they're thinking about tapping in on two sources. Either they borrow the money.
Okay.
The city borrows the money. Or they tap into the pensions plan.
Do they borrow?
Borrow from there.
Do they borrow governmental or is like city to city? Like, can I ask Tallahassee for some cash? Can I ask Orlando for some cash? Or do I have to go?
You know, I think here again, they borrow from the pension fund.
Okay.
Or they do commercial borrowing.
Gotcha.
You know, and of course, you know, they get a far greater interest rate when they borrow money because they borrow a huge amount of money.
Right.
You know, so don't have all of the ins and outs on that yet, but that is an interesting area to ponder.
Okay.
But one of the known issues that... they have to take up, and it's been decided some time ago about removing septic tanks in the city of Jacksonville, Duval County.
Gotcha.
You know, they want to get everybody on public or city sewage and all, you know, so they had to take votes for that.
Right.
So, and then better quality of life. That's when we start talking about your roads and your playgrounds and quality of education, school lunches for the less fortunate. You know, all these issues are voting issues.
Right.
You know, those are not just, you know, table issues where we're going to just go and do this and nobody gets to talk about how it's done, you know. So
I get that.
And that's where your representation comes into play. You know, because you got to have a political figures to push the issue for you.
Right.
You know, voice on how your tax dollars are spent, your local government, for an instance. You know, you get to vote on how they spend your money. And I think if you could probably recall when we had to vote for that half cent tax increase would have been about 30 years ago.
Okay.
And it was after they took down the toll bridges, you know, that was replaced with the half cent tax increase, sales tax. You know, all these things has to be voted on. So young folk get to vote on these things once they get registered and become a registered voter.
Okay.
Improve safety in your neighborhood. your crime prevention programs and things of that nature, you know. Those are voting block issues.
Right.
Of how it's to be done.
Okay.
So, but now, having said that, to the point, we're March 3rd, 2024. This issue of whether a person can be taken off the voter's ballot because their participation in violent riots or an insurrection. And the framers actually had that issue in mind, if you will. And, you know, you're going all the way back to the 1800s, 1868, with Amendment 14. My concern was after we, well, actually, last time we talked about this, I told you my concern was how I think that they, in deciding how to attack this issue, contrary to all the decisions made by all rulings, I still contend there are an egregious misinterpretation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And my thing is, because they can't prove, or they, well, actually, the Third Amendment, Section 3, it talks about, you know, who can't be a president or who can't be a senator or any other representative, officer, you know, of the United States if they've engaged in this insurrection or a violent riot.
Okay.
I am inclined to believe that the transcribers of our overran, I thought they overran a few commas, you know, because when you read that amendment, it states that no person shall be, okay? That was the beginning of the statement. Okay. No person shall be a senator, vice president. Let me see. So I didn't question that until I truly looked into it, because no person shall be is what they should have been focusing on rather than focusing on the president as an officer of the United States. And it was kind of clear that he truly is not an officer of the United States. And so the aha moment came when it says to me that or hold any office. So that was the aha moment. That to me, you know, didn't single out anybody. Right. And it didn't include anybody.
Okay.
You know, in a manner of speaking, it's so when it says no person, okay, it said hold any office if they had engaged in an insurrection, violent riot, or aiding and comforting people that had done such.
Gotcha.
You know, so. So I kind of looked at a couple of articles. The Federalist as a paper recognized the verbiage of the oaths, and so one of the way that they excluded the president of being an officer and included the senators and representatives as such.
Okay.
The oath that they take.
The one before the one in inauguration?
Well, when they're sworn into office.
Okay.
You know, when they're sworn into office, you know, the senators and representatives, legislators, take an oath to support the Constitution. Okay?
Okay.
But the president take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend. And so that separates him from being an officer.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So in other words, anybody that incites a riot or, you know, partakes in any kind of, you know, insurrection of the sorts shouldn't have any rights to putting their name on a ballot.
Right. Right. That's exactly what.
Now, how do they determine, you know, who incited, who insurrected, who was involved or who comfort? Is that like a jury based thing? Like you go to trial for that kind of thing, or is that just more so of word of mouth?
Say the very least, you know, the DOJ and the CIA and FBI, you know,
okay,
look at all the footage, because everything that representatives, anybody that work in Washington, anything that they do on ground is recorded. They got evidence of everything that you do.
Right.
So even with a president's speech, you know, when he make public speech, he's not just out there ad-libbing public speech and nobody know what's going on. Right. He's being recorded.
Of course.
You know, there's footage of everything. So if you're out there, you know, saying, oh, we're going to go to Washington and we're going to raise hell and, you know, everybody need to be there and yada, yada, yada. We got to fight, you know, as if though they're going to real battle against the enemy.
Right. But the enemy is ultimately ourselves, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so whenever, you know, they make those assertions that we're going to fight, that means more than we're going there to put up representation.
Right.
But, you know, this whole issue, man, in the very beginning, I can't understand how they can't see that someone tried to disrupt the transfer of power.
Right.
You know, they couldn't understand that someone had lost a major campaign votes. So now, if, you know, putting together a whole fictitious party of electors,
right,
you know, to try to push out the regular ones and have it overturned, how can they not see that there's an illegal transition going on here? I it just blows my mind that.
I get what you're saying. It's like, how are you not doing anything about this?
Right, you know, and how do you, as a leader, now you're going to sit back and let all of your brilliant lawyers concoct the scheme, you know, of putting in fake, as they call them, electors.
Okay.
You know, to rule against the order of things in order to overturn the election. Now, how can you not know that this is not legal?
Right. It's like fixing the game.
Right, right. You know, you're going to give me, you know, the umpire give me $1,000 every time I call a bad play against one of the opponents, you know?
Yeah. I get that. That person shouldn't be in office. Well, if you're willing to stretch stretch the truth out in such magnitude.
Yeah.
I agree. So, with that being said, where do we spot, or where do we sit the current candidates in this upcoming election?
Well, you know what? I think we want to be able to answer that question until next week. I think Super Tuesday, as they call it.
Oh, for the debates and stuff.
Well, that's when, you know, 10 or 12 other states will do their primary.
Okay.
Their primary voting.
Gotcha.
You know, so it could be, you know, we still could have three candidates, one incumbent and two candidates.
Right.
Formal president and and Nikki Haley, she's still in the race so far, you know. So
if she gets 30% of the votes, she has my respect.
Well, she's been doing precisely that. I think in the Carolinas and South Carolina, I think she came up with about 40% of the votes.
That's not bad.
No, considering that this guy is just, you know. He just bulls his way through, you know?
And
so, but now there's some new rhetoric, you know, coming up that, you know, diffuse the fact that, because this guy thinks that his candidacy right now, his campaign, he thinks he's taken 100% control of the Republican Party, thus making it his mega Republican.
Ah.
And so I was...
Too big-headed for the game.
Yeah, but you know, the thing, the matter is...
Right.
The guy said, hey, look, this he's only carrying about 60% of the Republican Party.
Right.
You know, so he's saying, hey, look, this fight is not over, and he's not... The Republican Party.
Mm.
He said, the guy is saying that the Republican Party, and they loved that party when Ronald Reagan was president. He said, that's the Republican Party, where they had all the moral and integrity during those days.
Right.
He says, there's still 40% of those people that are still out there. And he's going to push it and push it and push it till he can overtake that 60% that the former president is driving.
Right. Okay.
So Nikki Haley, again, she's coming up in there, and I wish her well.
Right.
You know, but the only problem I see with two candidates in the same party, you know, is you split the power of the people.
Right.
You know, because if you don't go 50-50, or if you go 50-50, that's not going to give you enough to knock the current president out of the box.
Right.
The incumbent, you know, you can't knock him out if you only get 50%. You got to get more than 50%.
Right.
So if both of you Republicans are towing 50-50,
and that's 50-50 or 50, because then the other guy, because the running guy. So they both got 25 apiece versus the current president that's sitting at 75%. So yeah. It's like,
You know, so it's so really said, a mess.
I get how tough that is. Now, we've been talking for a few episodes about, you know, voting and the importance of voting and things of that nature. But I just want to pick your brain real quick and just ask, as a culture, as a black culture, What do you, in your opinion, think that we should truly vote for this upcoming election? Notice I said what, not who.
Right. Well, you know, every election has a cultural backdrop.
Right.
one side or the other, you know, black or white. But if you think about the current state of the USA.
Okay.
What should we be doing in our society? You know, back in the 70s, 80s, you know, we were trying to get to the moon.
Right.
You know, right. But
remember
but,
those days?
Yeah, but you know, at that current time, you know, our economy was strong. You know, we had a direction, and we weren't threatened by global warming of the such. I let me restate that.
Okay.
It wasn't being highlighted at the time.
Yeah, okay, I
think the threat was there, but not as imminent.
Gotcha.
You know. To answer your question, we should be voting for any issues that are going to advance our society into the current future. You get that? The current future, because we're in the future now.
Right.
You know, so what we need to do is we need to advance it based on what we're seeing in our current past.
Okay.
You know, all of the states are being affected by climate change.
Right.
As awful as it has been, and the fewer people that acknowledge, in fact, that climate change has a greater impact on these changes. So having said that,
okay,
you know, I'm a proponent of getting away or moving away from fossil fuel.
Ew, you're pro on it?
Hey, listen, man, because I strongly believe that we are our own worst enemies.
What does that got to do with fossil fuels?
Well, because that's where all of the gases are causing, the carbon is causing the global warming.
Okay.
You know, and people aren't seeing that. They don't think that it's imminent. They don't think it's a threat. You know, if you're not into science, you know, or really accept science, you don't have to really be into it to accept the facts of it. So, to your question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And you say as a culture.
Right.
So that's one of the things that we should be considering. Jobs.
Fossil fuel or electric?
Yeah, you know. Or thermal or nuclear. You know, anything to slow down the progression of this global warming, man, because they're still talking about 2.5 degrees lowering the world temperature, 2.5 degrees to slow down. It won't stop it, but to slow down global warming.
I mean, but they got to know, as scientists, as people, we have to know. There's no way of stopping global warming. The only thing that we can do is slow it down as much as possible. It's an inevitable thing. Just on the strength of everything that we use, rather, you know, the smart light bulbs or, you know, whatever it is, the smart cars, it still shoots off, in my opinion, some sort of carbon, but not the type of carbon that's going to deteriorate the ozone layer to where we are now.
Well, if you got an electric vehicle,
okay,
you have no carbon.
No, so there's no carbon at all.
You're not combusting anything. Yeah.
Really?
You know, yeah. Yeah.
So when that battery blow...
That's a lithium ion. That's a lithium battery.
Okay.
You know, you're not generating any carbon with the electric vehicles.
Oh, gotcha.
Because you got to have combustion.
Okay.
You know, and that's where the fossil fuel comes in at. So, yeah, let's work at that. Let's work at getting our society, America, back into an industrial arena.
What about jobs?
That's where I'm going.
Yeah, I heard you about to tap into that. I wanted you to pick that back up.
Yeah, so, you know, once we can get our society back into the facade, if you will, of an industrial society, where we start to make stuff again.
Okay.
You know, America used to make all kind of things.
Right.
So what, you might say, what happened? Oh, greed happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, greed happened.
Decided to ship them warehouses overseas for less pay.
Yeah, no. And then the $64,000 question comes, well, if you send all the work overseas and you lay off all of your employees in America, who the hell's going to buy the product?
Right, because you're definitely bringing it back here.
You know what I mean? How are we supposed to buy this stuff, man? You done fired us. You done laid us off.
So let me ask you, you also spoke on understanding where we are in our current future versus where we were in our current past. Do you think that $15 vote was necessary for the state of Florida?
Listen, I think... Any pay raise is a plus. It's, you know, but here's the thing that nobody kind of put into focus.
When that happened.
Yeah, when that happened.
Which was?
Well, it should have been laid out an issue where in the next 5 years or the next 3 years, 3 to 5 years, we're going to initiate this $15 wage increase, you know, minimum wage increase. Because now you got all of these employers, you know, got to ante up. They got to pony up now to pay, you know, one to, you know, thousands of employees, you know, $15 an hour. All of a sudden, I got to wake up. Well, it won't be $15 an hour Monday, but if I got to pay you $2 more than I've been paying you, I need to make some money for my payroll before I can start expending money. You know, so I think they caught many of the employers off guard.
Okay.
You know, they weren't ready to have a stronger payroll.
I just personally feel like there was a funky way that they initiated it. I wasn't really on board with it. Because half of what you were saying I agree with. Like, if you're gonna raise one minimum wage up to $15, you know, give the employers those 5 years. Instead of letting it gradually increase until we get to that point, you know, everybody could have put a halt on their greed for 5 years. Let's prepare for that leap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, the employers, the rich guys, poor guys, whatever, give us all the time to
adjust everything.
And then that January 1st of what would be, what, 2025,
2026? Whatever, yeah.
So at that moment, everything's up. Right. And then everybody has a cushion blow. Everybody is prepared for it. Or, you know, they had ample time to prepare for it. So it's more of a ready or not, here we come kind of vibe. But, you know, ultimately, I feel like they could have given it more time to let everybody. Because, I mean, everything right now is so tough because here you go initiating your plan. And then you didn't get the minimum wage to 15 just yet, but the houses are at the price point as if you did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The car prices are going up because they're doing away with, you know, the industrial, because they're doing away with my babies,
yeah,
the V8 engines and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like everything is now, you know, back to greed. Now, guess what? The minimum interest rate is no longer 3%. It's now 4 or 5%. You know, when you're getting a new car, it used to be a, you know, 3% versus used car 7%. Now it's new car 5%, used car 10%, and it is ultimately we're paying more than we should for a loan, and we're not working the proper pay to adhere to what you guys have set
for
these loans. So I feel like You didn't give us enough time, America.
Well, I often reflect on it, you know, and I'm going like, okay, so everybody want $15 an hour minimum wage.
Yeah, but you got to see what else is going up with that 15.
Well, everything is going up with it. Right. Because if but you tell me.
I feel like that's something nobody thought of.
Well, I don't think they gave much thought to it, but I'm sure some of the economists are going like, well, you know what? If that happens, look out for prices increase.
Right.
You know, and frankly speaking, when the president was doing this during the COVID era.
Right.
You know, families were getting extra monies for children, you know, PPE money and, you know, so all of this stuff. So even at that time, you know, when families was getting an extra $300 a month or whatever the figure was for a lot of families or a year or whatever, prices started to increase then. You know, I noticed price increases because look, you got extra money, now we got to get it.
Right.
You know, what do you need it for? You're just going to spend it on, you know, frivolous things.
Right.
You know, so since we got to pay taxes on that, so why not increase and get that money and pay taxes, you know? So, but, and I try to refrain from calling it greed. I think it's something other than greed. I think it's...
And you might be right.
Well...
Because
well,
it's more so keeping our head above water in my head. When you really think about it.
Well, when you think about it, you got a situation where the employer knows that the economy. See, first of all, let's say this, because most wise businessmen know what. The community surrounding their locales know what the incomes are there.
Right.
And a lot of times prices are based on that.
Okay.
You know, if you have a median income in the demographics of, we'll say, $60,000.
Right, okay.
Okay. So now the business owners in that demographic, they step back and say, they're doing pretty good. I mean, you know, they haven't gotten to the middle class yet, but you know what? We can afford to increase prices just a little bit.
I get that.
And so is it greed at that point, or is it plain business acumen?
I mean... Obviously,
because what are the goals of a CEO of an organization is to generate income for the shareholders. You know, this guy is out there trying to find a way to get more money to flow through the registers down, you know, 16 steps from him.
Okay.
Or her.
Right.
You know, so. That's one thing that's considered, you know, and then other things such as expansion.
Okay.
You know, so he's doing a lot to try to generate wealth for the organization.
Right. I'm still going to say it's greed because capital.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
How do you determine? How would you determine greed as opposed to ordinary
survival?
Ordinary business operations. In other words, you know that your business has to take in X number of dollars to survive it.
Right.
Okay. So, how do you determine in your rhetoric?
Uh-huh.
What's greed and what's necessary.
Okay. In my opinion, when you're trying to go through standard OP, and you know you're trying to make quota, you're trying to make revenue, you're trying to make all of these things for your quarterly month, you know, for your quarterly mm-hmm. standings. I feel like there's a red line. I feel like there's a line that you have to make in order for you to survive another quarter.
Okay, and you're right. I got to take in X number of dollars.
Go ahead.
To sustain my bottom line.
Exactly. So now I feel like greed pops in when that red line is forged. And let's say my perfect revenue, my perfect revenue day is $30,000 a day.
Okay.
But then I'm going to these business meetings and I'm telling people that my bottom line is $60,000. And then I'm still paying everybody their same 10, 11, 12, but I'm pocketing that additional 30. That's where the greed comes into me. Because not to say that all business owners use their money for their own personal gain, but I feel like when you're in a position of running that business, you determine how much love, respect, or you know whatever you give back to the company. Ultimately, it's not nowhere near enough in a worker's eyes, because workers always feel like they're underpaid,
always,
and overworked.
Yeah, always. But you know, I always had a question in mind that I've always tried to answer. Who drives the business? Is the business driven by the employer, or is the business driven by the consumers?
I'll always say it's driven by the consumers.
Well, so if you think it's driven by, you can't, because that's contradictory to greed, you know, because if you
well,
think it's driven by.
Well, that just means I'm not greedy.
Well, no, if you conclude that it's driven by the consumer, then you can't see that a consumer is standing back and say, oh, yeah, I want to pay $10 more for that.
You'll never hear no consumer say that.
No, so when I stop and think, you know, it's being driven by the employer.
However, if here, I go ahead.
Here's what you have to consider. You got products that are categorized, you know, and one term that they use, well, a couple of terms that they use. One is called the cash cow.
Right.
And one is called the dog.
Okay.
Okay, so your cash cow is the product that, you know, drives up your sales.
Right.
You know, put money on your bottom line.
Right.
The dog is the one that you want to get rid of. You know. You know what I mean? You got to have it on your inventory, because everybody can't, so not willing, I should say, not willing to pay premium for that product.
So more so saying that's your least purchased product.
Yeah.
Your dog is your least purchased product.
Yeah, and I think that I don't think any business should have a product on the shelf if they're not moving a case of it in a month. You know, I just, you know, if you got a case with 12 units,
okay,
in a month's time you still got 11 of them sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, it's time to let that
yeah,
go.
Yeah, that need to go. That I need guess to you. Zap out of there, man. I guess you know.
But see, that's why I say consumers are the driving force of the company. Now, if I'm one of those guys that wants to keep my business booming based off my consumers, you know, I would look at my cash cow. Oh, let's order a ton of this. And let's minimize the order spill of what else we're grabbing, and we'll sell this out. We'll consistently sell this out. We'll act like we sold it out 1 week, and then act like we got another shipment in just to blow it out on a Tuesday.
Yeah, you
And then we'll act like we're sold out again, and then we'll let it out on a Saturday.
You're trying to. that's one of the tactics that they use to create demand, you know, and that way they can control the prices once they get to, you know, increase the demand. Then you see your prices go up on things.
And then there goes your greed.
Yeah. That part.
And then there goes your greed. See, I always get mad. I don't feel away when you know all of these things happen, because this is just nothing short of the true definition of capitalism. I just feel like on paper capitalism looked excellent, you know, but as executed, I think it's poorly done.
Well, you know.
But that's
that kind of goes back to
that's me speaking as a young cat.
Yeah, but no, that's kind of like Hamilton and John Jay in the Constitution was talking about, a person being able to judge their own behavior.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, man. It's just, look, if you got to call your own points, you know, point out your own issues.
Right.
Are you going to be crucial or critical? Are you going to be biased or open? Are you going to be forward about it, you know?
I feel like that's based off your childhood. Because you got those that have a lot to prove that really weigh their, like, they critique themselves heavier than that of a peer. Like, I would weigh heavier on how I do my job versus how you would do yours. Because I feel like, oh, I can do more. I always feel like I can do more. And I'm always the person that's going to look at you and say, well, this is the best you can do. So, yeah, if you're giving me my own critique, if you're telling me to self-evaluate, I'm gonna do it on a heavier scale than I would of a peer.
So how would you... How would you be willing to look at rhetoric in terms of incitement of a riot, you know? So if I'm up here, you know, doing all the gestures, you know, and I'm saying, right, you know, let's give them hell, you know, let's fight, you know. Do you think those gestures and words are enough to incite bad behavior? I do. I mean, you know.
You think so?
Yeah. I really do.
Now, it's a slippery, I ain't even going to call it a slippery slope, but it's definitely one of those lines that's blurred, if you will, because you can look at an individual and tell that they're like, how can I put it? All right, so we'll use wrestling, right? If The Rock decides he wants to go into the ring and tell everybody, like, whenever you see, you know, Donald Trump, throw a drink in his face, you know, whatever, you know.
Like they were starting to do.
So if you got those people that do it and there's a consequence to it, then the rest of those will not do it. However, it was nothing more than him just rocking with the fans.
So
my question back to you would be, when Donald Trump catches that drink to the face, are they arresting the person that threw the drink or the person that inspired them to throw the drink? Like, am I arresting the person that threw the drink in my face, or am I going to arrest The Rock for what he said on the show?
Yeah. I don't know. But still, we have to consider, you know, at best, his behavior was and is that of a faction.
It was a factor, because I'm not saying that there aren't people that would go out there and actually throw a drink in Donald Trump's face because The Rock said so. Like, there are people that would really go do that. Just like when you have somebody inciting riots, You know, there are people that are going to go do that because they believe wholeheartedly into the cause. Now, when that happens, you know, my question is who determines when a situation is getting out of hand?
Listen to it. By a fact, fashion, F-A-C-T-I-O-N.
Okay.
Okay, this is what Hamilton is saying. He says he understands the number of citizens, whether amounting to the majority or minority of the whole, who are united and actuate by some common impulse or passion, or to interests adverse to the rights of other citizens, or to the permanent and aggregate interest of the community. Now, this guy is saying that that's how it gets started, you know, minority or majority of the people.
Okay.
He said there are two methods for curing this mischief fashion. He said the one by removing its cause.
Okay.
So the other by controlling its effects. So you got this guy that's, first of all, before it goes any further, this guy, to me, he should have been disqualified in the very beginning because he never conceded to losing the last campaign.
Okay.
So to me right there, that's interference with the transfer, a peaceful transfer of power. You know, this guy has not acknowledged publicly that he lost, but nevertheless, he's back on a ballot again to try to, you know, get revenge, as he say.
Okay.
So who's going to follow this? You know, why would these citizens see that his misbehavior? Look, man, what's your integrity like when you can't admit that you lost the race? Imagine that.
I mean,
you lost. So why can't you congratulate the winning person? You know, because of your stupid ego. You know, and he once said, well, I didn't want nobody to know that I lost. Well, we know that you lost because you ain't in the Oval Office. You know, we know that you lost, man.
But can that be that level of arrogance be substituted for compassion? Can he just be that passionate about being a president? Like he had a sweet taste of it, fell in love with it, and stop at nothing until he can get it again.
Well, the guy just, you know, he look at some of the
he's not unhinged.
Dictators and, you know, the communist parties. And, you know, he see that these guys are sitting in their leadership positions for years. You know, not just 4 to 8 years, but for years, you know, 10, 15, 20 years or longer. You know, and he thinks that he's supposed to be able to do that in America.
Yeah, but if you really look at it, everybody that's holding their territories that long, they're not doing that well.
Exactly your point.
You know? Because at some point, see, that's one thing that I would give the United States when it comes to it. You give them 4 to 8 years so that we have a good, well enough time point or time frame where you can see how this leadership is going, and if right. It's not going that way, we can make a switch.
Now, yeah, to your point. So I was listening to him talking about Venezuela. Trump couldn't even pronounce the name, but this guy, I mean, can you imagine a society with an inflation rate of like 3,000%.
Damn. That's like $25 for a single banana.
Look, you might have to pay them to sell you stuff, you know?
Pay a cover charge to get into Walmart.
You know, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm going like, let me see, man. I can't even fathom a 3,000% inflation rate.
Yeah.
What is that like? I mean, that's like, you know, you go to the store and you buy milk, you know, and you're in the negative when you take the milk home. You still owe for it or something. I don't know how that works out, man.
Look, you put out a, you got to drop a down payment on your groceries. And then you got to pay monthly on groceries that you ate a week ago. Like, that's how I view that, because that sounds crazy. But, all right, so wrapping this up. All right. What's something that has transpired over the years that you could tell our listeners to keep in mind or to beware of when it comes to these upcoming elections?
Well, you know, I'm the guy that really wants to harp on morality and integrity.
Okay.
You know, particularly those two issues.
Okay.
You know, because without those, you know, you lose standing, your country, you know, lose standing. You become one of the rest, you know, third world countries, communist countries, autocracy, you know. Your country will fall into those categories simply by losing integrity.
Right.
You know, simply if you have no moral values, you should be singing, I think her name is Terry Chapman. Saying that she's no less or no greater, no less than a penny with a hole in it. You know what I mean? But okay. At any rate.
Okay. I've never heard that.
Yeah. But check this out, though. You know, you have, that leads your society.
Okay.
You know, America used to be strong. All we, you know, during the Reagan's era, man, all you had to do is say it and it was done.
Right.
You remember Mr. Gorbachev?
Okay.
He took down the wall. Mr. Gorbachev take down that wall and the wall went down.
Right.
You know, so now, because of all of the bad leadership, you know, and I won't say that it started in 2016. You know, I don't want to say it started then, but you know, when you have leadership, man, that's deteriorated like that. Look at all of your allies, man. This guy. Change. First thing he did is they had this this agreement with Mexico,
right?
With agriculture and all that.
Okay.
Oh, he wants to get rid of that. It was with Mexico and Canada, and another South America, one other country, you know, that Obama and Bush, I think Bush probably had the first hand on it, set up. This guy come in the office and he squashes that, you know. Then we had, you know, strong, better than strong communications with China.
Right.
You know, this guy come in, he, you know, he squashes that.
But just bulldoze every bridge,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, man, you know. Look, I'm going to charge you 25% tariffs, any products you ship to America, you know. But see, he didn't understand what America has been doing over the years.
Yeah.
You want to take control of leadership, it costs.
Yeah.
You know, it costs dearly.
Yeah, it do.
You know, and so that's what our previous administrations have been doing. And okay. It works because that gives you a whole world that you can bring. Look, we got 28 countries in NATO.
Right.
You know, so that's how you get them in. You know, so what did he do? He says, look, if you don't pay your percentage of your GDP, gross domestic product earnings, if you don't pay your 2% or 5%, depending on the size,
right?
You know, he's want to put them out of NATO. You know, or at best, if something were to transpire, you have no, you don't have that collective protection of those 28 countries.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, all this craziness, man. I mean, everything was wrong. You know, it has never been, ever since 9/11, you know, everything has been kind of rocky since then.
Yeah, everything has been frosty.
But, yeah, so culturally, always know that you're not, this is not about you as a culture.
Right.
It's about them. And how do I mean that? About them. Because their interpretations of where you ought to be and where you should be is the issue.
Right.
You know, so you just keep being who you are and we'll overcome a lot of what they're trying to do.
Gotcha, gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, we sit here and we speak on slavery times. We talk about how, you know, the definition of slavery, believe it or not, is having something, being forced to do something against your will. You know, if you really ask about modern day slavery, it's not about doing stuff against your will. It's about the term of every man has their price.
The compensation of what you're doing.
Exactly. Don't sell yourself just to itch their bets. Stand on the morals that made you who you were. November is the election time. I think they got a preliminary election coming up. When you said that was Tuesday?
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
For 12 of the states,
For 12 of the states. Y'all stay blessed out there. Remember, if you don't vote, you can't complain.
How about it?
OG, you want to leave him with something, boss man?
Man, you said it all right there. You know, just if you can get to the polls, always vote. Because, and we said this before, if you don't vote for your guy that represent your issues, you're voting for the other guy, inadvertently.
And I think you once said, too, if you don't vote, that's a vote.
Yeah, that's a vote in itself.
Just like I heard one of my favorite rappers say, if you don't get a message, that's a message.
That's a message.
So if you don't vote, that's also a vote.
That's a vote. That's a vote for
the other
guy. If
you can't vote, better fight to vote. I don't know who would want to live in a country where you can't control what happens to you, but it is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all stay blessed out there. And remember, this whole world is up to you. Y'all stay blessed.
Like, that's my cut. Oh, yeah. Man, got to get some speakers hooked to that thing so we can vibe that when you get through. No, I mean with it, because this got a great sound coming through here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.